In Matthew chapter 20, I want to read this passage and then I want to speak from there. This is a parable about the workers in the vineyard, but before I go and read this, I want to give you the chapter before this is right at the last few verses. It's Peter talking to Jesus, and let me just read this. This says, "Then Peter answered and said to him, 'See, we have left and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?'" So Peter's asking this question. "We've left all and followed you. So therefore, what are we going to get in return?" Basically. So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." So he says this, okay? This is the question. Then Jesus goes into this parable. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went back out the third hour of the day and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour of the day and did likewise. And about the 11th hour of the day, and he found others standing idle. And he said to them, 'Why have you been standing idle here all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' But he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those who came, who were hired about the 11th hour," so at the very end of the day, "they each received a denarius. But when he came, when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise each received a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'The last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Did you not agree with me for one denarius at the beginning of the day? Take what is yours and go your way. For I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many are called, but few are chosen." You know, this is dealing with a heart issue. He is explaining, because Peter's like, you know, hey, what are we going to get? We're obviously walking with you. We're more thinking, you know, probably this carnal mentality that we all have. We all struggle with this. Well, hey, we're walking with you. What are we going to get? You know, like it's going to give you something more. And so Jesus answers, and he says, you know, you guys are going to be sitting on, you know, in eternity. You're going to be judging the 12 different tribes of Israel. Yes, you're going to inherit eternal life and all these things. But then he goes in and he tells this parable about a vineyard owner, a landowner, who went out at the beginning of the day, hired some people very early in the morning, agreed for a denarius a day. I don't know what that's equal to now, but, you know, just figured it like a dollar a day, whatever it is. A fair wage for that time. They agreed to it. They went to work. They're happy. Until they seen other people come in later in the day and then getting paid the same amount when they had been there all day. Now they agreed. He was right. It was lawful for him to do what was he wanted to do with his own things. You know, it's far too often in when we become believers and we're going for Jesus, and it is normal and typical and something we all have to get through and get over and get free from, to have that kind of an attitude, because we do that. Well, I do more than so-and-so and so-and-so. So? We're all getting the same wage. Amen. At the end, we're all getting the same wage. You know, when we receive eternal life and we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts and we make a commitment to Him, we're all agreeing to the same wage, no matter where we start. It doesn't matter if we start when we're 5 years old, 10 years old, or 75 years old. What matters is that we get in the vineyard. What matters is that we make a commitment to Him and we follow through with that commitment and we walk it out day to day. So basically, when he's dealing with this story, he's saying this story to illustrate the attitude, because the ones that were complaining that got hired at the first of the day, that thought that they were going to suddenly get more than what they agreed to because somebody got hired later and they got the same pay, they got this selfish attitude that come out of them. And revealed, he said, you go ahead and go your way. I'm going to give you what I want to give you, what you agreed to. You go ahead and go your way. And he deals with this heart attitude. And then he ends this whole thing by saying, many are called, but few are chosen. You know, there is also in... I want to go to this too. So we're going to turn back to Matthew 7 in a minute, but I want to say this. When we give our hearts to Jesus and we make a commitment to Him, it is very important that we continue from that day, that moment on, to guard our heart. Scripture says, guard your heart above all else, for from it flow the issues of life. So we've got to guard our heart against, because he even said, you know, your heart, is your heart, you know, being evil towards me? Did you not agree for a denarius a day? So what the deal here is that in our Christian walk, this goes across the board, this is not just an in-church thing. In life, we make an agreement with Jesus. He is our reward, period. Eternal life. He's what we live for. He's why we love. He's why we do what we do. And if that's true, then our actions will line up with that. Our body language, our normal language when we actually speak, how we treat people. You know, I had a man this week telling me, yeah, I've walked into churches before. I have a hard time with church because I've heard this before. But he said, I've had a hard time with church because I had a bad experience. And I come into a church and they check me at the door about how I was dressed. It's just not right. But let me say something that was unspoken. And I can't be sure about this, but I can be sure that it happens because I know I've seen it. Sometimes, well, actually, you know what? Most of the time, it's not that anybody actually says a word. It's not that anybody actually walks up and says, hey, you need to go home and change. It's the actions. It's the body language. We all do it. We think our face is not showing. But it is. Whatever's in our heart is showing on the outside of our body language. Now that can be misinterpreted. Sometimes we're in pain. Sometimes we're hurting. Sometimes we're not feeling good. Sometimes things can be misconstrued by people. Sometimes things can be read wrong. So we've got to be careful to listen to the Holy Spirit on that. And know if somebody's constipated or if they're just angry. Whatever. I mean, I'm being real. Think about it. Sometimes there's problems and it has nothing to do with a hard attitude. But that is the exception and the rare. And so we do have to be aware of that in the sense that we don't read people wrong, because we can. But the fact of the matter is the focus is not about this story, is not on others. We're not supposed to be focusing on everybody else. See, the selfish attitude comes up when we see somebody else getting more than what we got, because they got to work a little bit shorter amount of time and got the same pay. That attitude of the heart came out of them, well, we should get more. No, you're getting what you agreed to. We live our life for God. We live for Jesus. We do our jobs. We go to work. We do whatever's put before us. We participate in church. We get involved and we do things. Whatever that is, and we are active and we do things, but we do things and we should be doing things, not with the expectation of something in return, but with the knowledge that He's already promised us all the same wage, eternal life, and His presence. Are we working for His presence? Absolutely not. He's already given it to us. He's already promised us eternal life the day that we gave Him our heart. But that is the motivation that we work from. That is the motivation that we do. That's why we do what we do. You know, we follow Jesus. We do good deeds. We love people. Our faith is shown in our actions. James chapter 2 and verse 19. In fact, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and turn there. We go off here because I feel like that's didn't mark it. James chapter 2. There we go. In verse 19. Let me read this. James chapter 2, verse 19. Well, I'm going to go back to verse 18. Actually, verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Okay, what's he teaching us there? When love is my motivation, when Jesus is my reason, when Jesus is my reward, when He Himself and that relationship is my reward, that eternal relationship, when that is my reward and that is what I'm working for, then out of that, my works will flow. I will do things, do right things. I will do things for God. I will serve. I will get involved. I will do good deeds. I will help people. I will love my neighbor. All of those things. Why? Because I love Jesus and I love others. That's what He told us to do, was to love our neighbor as ourselves and love God with all of our heart. So if love is our motivation, then that is our reward. We've already agreed the day that we signed up for eternal life, the day that we agreed and asked Jesus to come into our hearts and forgive us of our sin, we agreed that day for what we're getting. We've got to always keep that before us so that we never get askew in pointing fingers or blaming or getting frustrated or getting selfish in any way. And like I said, this doesn't just work in church. This works at our jobs. This works in every part of life. It's an attitude that we have to keep a check on. Is something that is a part of the renewing of our minds. Is something that Jesus was dealing with right this moment with the apostles. He was answering Peter's question with this parable right after he said, okay, yeah, you're going to get this, but let me give you a parable. And then he explains this parable. like nipping that heart attitude. Does that make sense? That heart attitude is so important. And this heart attitude is applied not just with our own individual personal relationships within church and within our jobs, but this also applies corporately as the church. We can't look at other churches and have a negative attitude. Well, they're not doing as much as we did. Well, they're not doing what we do. Well, they're not doing it right. That's no different than these people at the end that said they were only here an hour and you're paying them the same. It's no different. We've got to have a heart of love, blessing, and we've got to cut the selfishness out. We do what's put before us because we've already gotten our reward. It's His presence. It's Him. It's eternal life. That's what we're doing, what we do. We're not doing it for that. We're doing it because of that. We're doing it because He first loved us. He gave His life for us. He should be our motivation in everything we touch and everything we do. So, with that said, we've got to watch our hearts. We've got to watch our attitudes. We've got to watch what we say, how we act. Now, let me tell you a little secret that makes this all really easy. If our heart's right, we don't have to watch anything. It comes out. Whatever's in our heart comes out on our face, comes out of our mouth. Bible teaches us that. Comes out of our actions. Right? So it's really easy. It's not hard. When I hear the statement, well, we got to watch. Watch what? What am I watching? Got to watch this, got to watch that. No. Just make sure your heart's right. If there's hatred that comes up, deal with it. Take it to Jesus. If there's anger that comes up, then we need to stop and say, well, why is that there? Jesus, I don't want this. I don't want to be that way. If there's anxiety that we're fighting, Jesus, where am I not trusting you? What's going on here? You know, help me get rid of this. I want to take this. Take it to Him. He is there for everything we need. The Scripture says that the Holy Spirit is given as our helper. He's here to help us all the time. But the thing is we don't often turn to Him. Well, the things that cause us not to turn to Him are the things that are just like these people that were hired in the beginning of the day and got the same wages as the guy that got the last hour. And they turned to Him and said, why aren't we getting more? Because we worked a lot more and we endured the heat of the day. Why aren't we getting more? It's the same attitude coming out. And we have to pay attention that those things, when we see them come out, then we've got to turn to Jesus and say, okay, Jesus, why am I off here? Because if we're motivated by love and we're connected to His presence daily, then the walk is easy. But if we're not, then we're going to be struggling with selfishness. Selfishness doesn't just apply to what we're getting in return for something. It doesn't just apply. It applies to all areas. It applies to temptation. Giving in to temptation is being selfish. Doing something we know is wrong is selfish. Wanting more than somebody else is selfish. Working really, really hard and then getting mad at somebody else when they work a little bit and they get the same thing and getting mad about it is selfish. What they get's what they get. That's their business, not ours. Here's the message. We've got to focus on us. We do what we're agreed to do. We love Jesus. We walk out that love with relationship with Him. And we keep our heart right. And we guard it. Because above all else, we guard our heart. Because from it flow all of the issues of life. all of the issues of life flow from our heart. So we've got to guard our heart. We've got to guard the why we do what we do. We've got to make sure that the why is Jesus, not something more than someone else, not something different than someone else, not to do more than anyone else. Take the someone else out of the equation completely. It's about you and Jesus. It's about me and Jesus. We live in a society and in a culture where when it's actually flowing from the highest up down over our society, this thing that we've got to fight. This is a spiritual thing that we have to fight. And often we don't realize this is happening, but I'm going to point it out to you this morning. And that thing is that I just went completely blank. No, it's spiritual. Jesus, I just ask you right now to bring that thought back. I know that that is a spiritual attack because I'm pointing out something that's pretty major. Ah, there it is. From the top down, it is taught to blame someone else when we're doing wrong. It's because somebody else has hatred in their heart. It's because there's a group of people that does this and I'm this way. It's because my mom and dad did this to me and that's why I'm this way. There's these excuses that is constantly, where it's taught in our society to blame others. The scripture teaches us that each individual is responsible for his own actions. I am responsible for my actions. If somebody grabs a gun and goes out and shoots up a college like what happened this week again, it's not the gun's fault. It's not how he came up's fault. It's not circumstances' fault. It's not mental fog. It's none of that. It is that individual person's responsibility. They are going to have to answer before Almighty God for that action, just like we are for every action that we give, take, or everything we say. He says we're going to be judged for every idle word. But the fact of the matter, the base of this the whole thing is that we're each responsible. And you can see that in this story. We're responsible for our heart and our actions. Those people who were hired at the beginning of the day were responsible for their heart and their actions at the end of the day. When somebody came along an hour before quitting time and got the same pay and they reacted the way they did and the landowner was like, okay, go your way. And Jesus said, many are called and few are chosen. Why? Few are chosen because Jesus himself said that it's those that do the will of my Father that are mine. James said, I show you my faith by my works. We're not working for it. We're working because there's something happened in our heart that changed our heart. The something that happened was Jesus entered our heart. And if he's really entered our heart, then it's going to show on the outside. He also said, you shall know them by their fruits. That's how we tell the difference. So we've got to look at ourselves. We have to take responsibility for our own actions and our own lives and look at it and say today, here, right now, this moment, okay, where have I been blaming someone else? It's because I'm dealing with this situation that I'm like this. No. It's because you choose to react that way that you're like that. We all have a choice. That's the great and wonderful thing about God and how he created us is he gave us free will to choose how we were going to react, to choose him or not choose him. And if we choose him and we're restored to relationship with him, then we have a responsibility that from that relationship to act a certain way. Absolutely. But we act that certain way and we do those certain things, the right things. We act the right ways. We act in love, kindness, all of those things because of that relationship. It flows out of that relationship. You know, you can't muster up love in your heart. Only He can put it in there. If we're struggling with something and something's hard, if it's hard to love somebody, if it's hard to be kind to someone, if it's hard to be kind to anyone, whatever, then we've got to ask Jesus. He's the only one that can put that love in our heart that overcomes everything. Because it all comes from Him. It's when we're restored to that relationship with Him, that's when we're completely who we're supposed to be. And too often, we ride a roller coaster of relationship instead of a steadiness of relationship. The steadiness of relationship is we walk with Him day in and day out, always focusing on Him and choosing to. And it's hard. It's not easy. It's hard because we don't want to sometimes. The want to only change if we make a decision to day in and day out get up and say, Jesus, You are the most important thing today. You are what I want in my life, in my heart, flowing out of me. I want to be walking with You. I want to be fulfilling what You've called me to do. I want my faith to be shown by my works. I want all of these things that You're talking about. I don't want to be like the people that got mad in the vineyard story. I want to be like I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be selfish in any area of my life. I want to be filled with love. I want to be filled with Your kindness, Your mercy, Your goodness. I want to be like You, Jesus. Do you see that? This whole thing is about a heart attitude that acts like we're supposed to be like Him. We're not supposed to be trying to act like Him. We're supposed to be like Him. Him flowing through us. Well, that starts with a focus on Him. It starts first with salvation, asking Him to come into our hearts. And then from that day, it becomes a responsibility of maintained relationship. From that day on, it becomes when we start getting off track, we start finding and seeing these attitudes of the heart because they're revealed by His Word. Like right now this morning, just bringing this up, it stirs stuff up. We're aware. That's what the Word does. It brings up heart attitudes. He told... That parable was 2,000 years ago. In that moment, it brought up a heart attitude and dealt with it in the apostles. And it's doing the same thing right here, right now. For all of us. Think about that. He's always dealing with the heart attitude first and foremost. Because God knows that everything flows out of our heart. So the message is this, it's simple. Everything flows out of your heart. Focus on what's going on there. And focus on letting Jesus into every area. Ask Him to fill every area. Anywhere there's a struggle, got to ask. Don't walk out of here today and go, well, I'll ask tomorrow. Don't do that. You won't. I've been there, done that. That's normal. Don't let the opportunity or the moment pass by when God is present, when He is moving, and when His Word is clear and right and spot on. If you guys would stand this morning, I just want to pray. If any of you need prayer this morning, this altar is always open, as you know, of course, always open. We want to pray with you. But if you would just bow your head for a moment, I just want to pray a prayer and give an encouragement. Father God, I thank You today for Your presence, God. Jesus, I just ask You that this morning, as Your words are so powerful this morning, God, just so good and so clear. It's just Your Word. It's not just Your Word. It's Your Word. It's Your living, breathing Word. God, I pray this morning that if there are areas, well, it's not even an if question. Those areas in our hearts this morning, God, that are out of line, that are out of whack, that would be like what you were revealing to Peter and the apostles in their question. God, that you were dealing with a hard attitude there of selfishness. God, I pray this morning that you would do the same thing as I know you already are right now. And that, God, we would respond, that we would choose to respond by asking you to forgive us first. And then second, asking you to fill our that place, that void in our heart, with more of your presence, with more of your love, to overcome whatever that struggle is, whatever that place is, whatever that situation is. If it's an attitude toward people, toward a person, of dealing with selfishness, if it's dealing with lust, greed, whatever, God, there's a whole list of names. But the bottom line is we don't focus on those things. We focus on you. So this morning, right now, right here, God, I ask you to come into my heart, fill my heart. Any void areas, any areas that are low in any place, anything, God, in my heart that needs to be fixed, put back into place, guard put back around it, me aware of it. God, I pray that you restore those fiery walls of your presence right now around my heart and everyone here, God, and that you fill those places and wash out any dross, any junk, any stuff that's not supposed to be there. God, it's, you know, this morning I just encourage you, just raise your hands if this is God talking to you this morning and you want this, just as an act of faith and a response, just lift your hands and say, Jesus, wash over me. Wash over every area in my heart. And you need to say this yourself to him. I can't say it for you. Neither can your neighbor. You have to say it. You and him. Jesus. Just take a few minutes. Focus on Jesus yourself. I just feel like that's what we're all supposed to do this morning. Right here. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 You know, I just feel led this moment right here. If you're here this morning and you've never made that first step, never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, if you've never done that before, then raise your hand. Just want to give a moment for that. I feel like it's just a God moment. Father, I thank you this morning for your presence, God. I thank you for your message to us, God, that you heart check us, myself included, in every area of life. God, I thank you. I thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us, God. I thank you for being with us, God. And Father, I pray that this morning, that this message, that what you spoke to us this morning, God, that you would permeate every area of our hearts this week. God, that day in and day out this week, that we would be aware of our heart, that we would be paying attention to what's coming out of our mouth and the ways that we're acting, not because we're trying to watch it, but just because we want our heart to be in the right place with you. And so, Father, I pray right now, this moment, that we would all of our hearts would be put right in that right place with you. God, I open my heart right now, this moment, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to come in and just set my heart on that right track. Make sure it's completely aligned and on track in every way. I'm asking you to do that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.